On Christmas Eve, Harry went to bed looking forward to next day for the food and the fun, but not expecting any presents at all. When he woke early next day, however, the first thing he saw was a small pile of packages at the foot of his bed.
"Happy Christmas," said Ron sleepily, as Harry scrambled out of bed and pulled on his dressing gown.
"You too," said Harry. "Will you look at this? I've got some presents."
"What do you expect, turnips?"
said Ron, turning to his own pile, which was a lot bigger than Harry's. Harry picked up the top parcel. It was wrapped in thick brown paper, and scrawled across it was, "To Harry, from Hagrid." Inside was a roughly cut wooden flute. Hagrid had obviously whittled it himself. Harry blew it. It sounded a bit like an owl. A second, very small parcel contained a note. "We received your message and enclosed your Christmas present. From Uncle Vernon and Aunt Petunia." Sellotaped to the note was a 50-pence piece.
"That's friendly," said Harry. Ron was fascinated by the 50 pence.
"Weird," he said. "What a shape! This is money?"
"You can keep it," said Harry, laughing at how pleased Ron was.
"Hagrid and my aunt and uncle. So who sent these?"
"I think I know who that one's from," said Ron, going a bit pink and pointing to a very lumpy parcel. "My mum. I told her you didn't expect any presents, and..."
"Oh, no," he groaned. "She's made you a Weasley jumper."
Harry had torn open the parcel to find a thick, hand-knitted sweater in emerald green and a large box of homemade fudge.
"Every year she makes us a jumper," said Ron, unwrapping his own, "and mine's always maroon."
"That's really nice of her," said Harry, trying the fudge, which was very tasty. His next present also contained sweets, a large box of chocolate frogs from Hermione. This only left one parcel. Harry picked it up and felt it. It was very light. He unwrapped it. Something fluid and silvery grey went slithering to the floor, where it lay in gleaming folds. Ron gasped.
"I've heard of those," he said in a hushed voice, dropping the box of every flavour beans he had got from Hermione.
"If that's what I think it is, they're really rare and really valuable."
"What is it?" Harry picked the shining, silvery cloth off the floor. It was strange to the touch, like water woven into material.
"It's an invisibility cloak," said Ron, a look of awe on his face.
"I'm sure it is. Try it on." Harry threw the cloak around his shoulders, and Ron gave a yell. "It is! Look down!" Harry looked down at his feet. But they had gone. He dashed to the mirror. Sure enough, his reflection looked back at him, just his head suspended in mid-air, his body completely invisible. He pulled the cloak over his head, and his reflection vanished completely.
"There's a note," said Ron suddenly. "A note fell out of it."
Harry pulled off the cloak and seized the letter. Written in narrow, loopy writing he had never seen before were the following words. "Your father left this in my possession before he died. It is time it was returned to you. Use it well. A very Merry Christmas to you." There was no signature. Harry stared at the note. Ron was admiring the cloak.
"I'd give anything for one of these," he said. "Anything.
What's the matter?"
Nothing, said Harry. He felt very strange. Who had sent the cloak? Had it really once belonged to his father?
Before he could say or think anything else, the dormitory door was flung open, and Fred and George Weasley bounded in. Harry stuffed the cloak quickly out of sight. He didn't feel like sharing it with anyone else yet.
"Merry Christmas! Hey, look! Harry's got a Weasley jumper, too!"
Fred and George were wearing blue jumpers, one with a large yellow F on it, the other with a G.
"Harry's is better than ours, though," said Fred, holding up Harry's jumper. "She obviously makes more of an effort if you're not family."
"Why aren't you wearing yours, Ron?" George demanded.
"Come on, get it on. They're lovely and warm."
"I hate maroon," Ron moaned half-heartedly as he pulled it over his head.
"You haven't got a letter on yours," George observed. "I suppose she thinks you don't forget your name. But we're not stupid. We know we're called Gred and Forge."
"What's all this noise?"
Percy Weasley stuck his head through the door, looking disapproving. He had clearly come halfway through unwrapping his presents, as he, too, carried a lumpy jumper over his arm, which Fred seized.
"P for Prefect! Get it on, Percy! Come on, we're all wearing ours! Even Harry got one!"
"I don't want..." said Percy thickly, as the twins forced the jumper over his head, knocking his glasses askew.
"And you're not sitting with the Prefect today, either," said George. "Christmas is a time for family."
They frog-marched Percy from the room, his arms pinned to his side by his jumper. Harry had never in all his life had such a Christmas dinner. 100 fat roast turkeys, mountains of roast and boiled potatoes, platters of fat chipolatas, tureens of buttered peas, silver boats of thick, rich gravy and cranberry sauce, and stacks of wizard crackers every few feet along the table. These fantastic crackers were nothing like the feeble muggle ones the Dursleys usually bought, with their little plastic toys and their flimsy paper hats. Harry pulled a wizard cracker with Fred, and it didn't just bang. It went off with a blast like a cannon and engulfed them all in a cloud of blue smoke, while from the inside exploded a Rear Admiral's hat and several live white mice. Up on the high table, Dumbledore had swapped his pointed wizard's hat for a flowered bonnet and was chuckling merrily at a joke Professor Flitwick had just read him. Flaming Christmas puddings followed the turkey. Percy nearly broke his teeth on a silver sickle embedded in his slice. Harry watched Hagrid getting redder and redder in the face as he called for more wine, finally kissing Professor McGonagall on the cheek, who, to Harry's amazement, giggled and blushed, her top hat lopsided. When Harry finally left the table, he was laden down with a stack of things out of the crackers, including a pack of non-explodable luminous balloons, a grow-your-own-warts kit, and his own new wizard chess set. The white mice had disappeared, and Harry had a nasty feeling they were going to end up as Mrs. Norris's Christmas dinner. Harry and the Weasleys spent a happy afternoon having a furious snowball fight in the grounds. Then, cold, wet, and gasping for breath, they returned to the fire in the Gryffindor common room, where Harry broke in his new chess set by losing spectacularly to Ron. He suspected he wouldn't have lost so badly if Percy hadn't tried to help him so much. After a tea of turkey sandwiches, crumpets, trifle and Christmas cake, everyone felt too full and sleepy to do much before bed except sit and watch Percy chase Fred and George all over Gryffindor Tower because they'd stolen his prefect badge. It had been Harry's best Christmas day ever. Yet something had been nagging at the back of his mind all day. Not until he climbed into bed was he free to think about it. The invisibility cloak, and whoever had sent it.